Amen. Good morning, everyone. Right now, I pray this prayer. Matthew 18, 19 says these words. Again, I say to you that two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. And I want us to come into agreement right now in the name of Jesus for the fire that's broke out in just southeast of Alpine. We pray in the name of Jesus. Join me right now. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you provide supernatural resource right now, God, to diffuse and just completely alleviate that fire. We speak life right now where there's death. We speak hope where there's no hope. We pray, Jesus, that any houses or any structures that are in the line of that fire, that they would be protected right now in the name of the Father. I pray, God, that you would even do something so crazy and so radical that you would send a rainstorm into the region that is not anticipated by the meteorologist. You can do this, God. We know you can. I've even heard about the Northern California fires where they weren't anticipating any kind of a rain, and all of a sudden a rain came through. You're that big a God, and we come into agreement right now in Jesus' name that you will do something supernatural to stop that fire from going any further, Father. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining me in that prayer this morning. I bless you, Crosspoint. Good morning, everyone. Great to be with you. Let's jump right in. There goes the neighborhood. That was a quote I heard in the early 70s from someone in our neighborhood as they observed a black family potentially moving into our very white, middle-class, suburban neighborhood in the OC of Orange County, of Southern California. These words were expressed not just many years ago, but I've heard them from different individuals. Well, if they just weren't so lazy, they worked harder, they would be able to pull themselves up and out of that poverty, out of that place that they are. Emphasize the word they. Who is they? Most often than not, not every time, but most often than not, it was a person of color. These racist type of comments, like countless others, reflect an evil, and in my opinion, a demonic spirit that has plagued our country for hundreds of years. Racism, more specifically what we call slavery, should not ever have been a recognized part of our American history. And for that matter, world history. But sadly, it is. Now, I'm not speaking specifically this morning on the topic of racism, but a very grafted and equally disturbing part of the narrative of how we view others that are not of the same skin color as ours. And that is what we are now hearing, maybe for some of you for the first time, but it's a phrase that's being used a lot across our country right now, and it's the word or the phrase white privilege. I'm going to speak to that for a few moments and hopefully give a definition of what white privilege is, but I want to make sure that we land the plane this morning, if you will, on what Jesus and his word has to say about white privilege and how we see one another. On a personal level, like many of you, when I first heard of the phrase white privilege, it stirred something up in me that I didn't honestly like. I ask myself, why? Why does that bother me so much? Why does prejudice or what is white supremacy bother me so much? And for some of you that are white, like myself, and are listening or will listen to our podcast, you too will find yourself with some sort of reaction to the phrase white privilege. It may or may not reflect the truth of who you are or what you understand white privilege to be. It may not be who you are, as I mentioned, but it doesn't negate the reality of what my black brothers and sisters feel or people of color have experienced for a very, very long time. It is important to know and even remember this morning that there are things related to our U.S. history that makes us very uncomfortable. I love reading about U.S. history. I love to hear about how we've gotten where we've gotten in terms of culture, in terms of even wealth, in terms of how we are able to come to a land and have a dream and see that dream potentially fulfilled. Those things are amazing to me. But the confusion and the pain connected to this topic of white privilege, as I researched it, can only be eased a little bit by knowing that it's not based on individual white person's intent to bring harm, but on our racial group's determination to preserve what is believed to be rightfully ours. Therein lies the problem and the tension of what we call white privilege. Let me also state, before I attempt to give you a working definition of white privilege, that whatever reaction this message may cause internally for you or for others, I'm asking you as a Christ follower to invite Holy Spirit into your thinking, into your feeling, into your processing of what is no doubt a hot topic, given on a day that's going to be 115 degrees. Hot topic that must be addressed, it must be committed to, and ultimately a dedication to the eradication of racism and of what is being called white privilege or white supremacy. It's noted in our Declaration of Independence. It says these words: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." All men, all women are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator God with certain unalienable rights, that are among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Sadly, when we think about the first part of those words in the Declaration of Independence, when we talk about all people are created equal, it doesn't translate very well, in my estimation, in our country and even our world right now. Equal treatment is not the norm. Even what is believed to be fair treatment is not necessarily fair treatment. I watched an amazing interview with T.D. Jakes and another pastor from the, Carl Lentz. If you haven't seen that interview between Carl Lentz and T.D. Jakes, it's worth the hour and a half investment of time. So many nuggets of truth came from that as I watched it. But T.D. tells a story as it relates to inequality. He describes his son calling him late one night on the phone and said, "Dad, I'm in trouble." Now, as a dad of a son, it's after hours, it's late at night, and the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, "Dad, I'm in trouble." Immediately, your heart sinks. And T.D. began to say, "Son, what's the problem?" He said, "Dad, I've been in a bad accident. My car's totaled. I think the person in the other car is hurt. And it wasn't my fault, Dad, but it's looking really bad." T.D. says to his son, "Keep me on the phone. Do not put that phone down, son. Keep it going. Don't hang up on me." T.D.'s greatest fear wasn't necessarily the accident itself. And once he learned that his son was okay, his greatest fear as a black pastor in America — if you don't know who T.D. Jakes is, he's probably one of the profound preachers we have in our nation. And T.D. said, "It wasn't the concern I had necessarily for the accident. It was my concern for what would happen when the police showed up on scene." Fortunately, it went well, they treated him fairly, and things were resolved. But his concern was, how would they treat my son, a black young man in the middle of the night? Will he be treated fairly? The point of this narrative or this story is this, is that understanding white privilege is an acknowledgement that our world is uneven and even unequal, period. You don't have to agree with me this morning. You may want to react. You may want to get mad at me. You may want to say that's not true. But I don't know what bubble you're living in, but it's factual. It's the day in which we live. And now is time for us as a white people, as a white congregation even, if you will, or even as a people, we must begin to pay attention to what's going on around us if you haven't already. Please hear me when I say to you, I am no expert on this topic, and I'm only desiring to learn more about what's going on around me. I've heard it said that when we live from the middle being comfort and privilege, we can never truly understand the margins of society. Is it possible? I'm speaking as a white pastor right now. Is it possible that we've gotten so comfortable in our bubble of church life that somehow we've missed what it's like for those that live in the margins? Because I've never been there. I agree with that statement and understand that in order for change to occur, there must first be an acknowledgement that there is an issue. That's one of the biggest problems with many white working class people in our country is we refuse to move from the middle to the margins because we're comfortable, we like where we are, we like what we do, and we don't want any kind of trouble or conflict. There will be some of you this morning that will hear this message and comment with such things as, I don't believe in white privilege or systemic racism. See, the reality of our ignorance is based on the fact that we've never been victimized by it. And that is a quote by T.D. Jakes. I'll say it again for you. The reality of our ignorance is based on the fact that we've never been victimized by it. I don't think any of my kids have ever been pulled over simply because of their color. I may find out to be true later, but I don't believe that's to be the case. That's a form of white privilege, if you will. We've never had the fear of our kids being pulled over because of their skin color, black or a person of color, it doesn't matter. One of our friends is here right now. I know he's had struggles at times with this whole issue of privilege. The term white privilege, simply defined, is this. There's probably different ones, but let me give you what I've come up with. Is generally used to describe what is seen to be earned rights and benefits given to people with white skin simply due to the color of their skin. The idea is that those with white or lighter skin are more often than not viewed with or treated more favorably than those with darker skin. I can't even believe, to be quite honest with you this morning, that we have to address this topic. That we've gotten to a place in our national history and our local history that this is something that we've got to confront, not as some bystander, but someone that's actively involved in community life and in church life. You see, it's time for us to reconcile the existing and very real wide gap between white privilege and people of color, because this will require an honest assessment of one's faith in Jesus and how you and I filter honest feelings with those that have a different skin tone than yours. And if through an honest assessment of your heart and view of race, you determine that there is a white person privilege inside of you, then the work of change must begin immediately. Each day you must combat the mindset and attitude of privilege by bringing it to an awareness of others as well as your own. I've never considered myself to be a person that expresses or lives out racism or white privilege. But there have been moments of recent months that I became angry. Not with people of color, not with black, not with any, but with myself. Because I have been so quick to react or even judge others who are, in my estimation, forcing their passionate conviction that white privilege exists. And that made me mad initially. Like, what are you talking about? I'm not that person. If I can give honest assessment of my own heart and life and realize that there has been at times some underlying thought or behavior, opinion, attitude that's caused me to see through a lens that's not of the Father, I've had to repent of that and say, Jesus, forgive me for that. That's not the heart that I've ever wanted to display. Because most often than not, when we have white privilege, we don't even know we have it, because it's always been with us. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Asking Holy Spirit to soften my hardened heart and make it like His. And God's word teaches our goal as Christ followers is to become one thing, and that's to emulate the person of Jesus Christ. To emulate His life, the way He loved people, and how He constantly was about knocking down the walls that separated the children of God. Separated people, separated cultures. Back in the day, we don't have time to go into it, but back in the day when Jesus walked the planet, there was a huge racial divide between Jew and Gentile, right? Samaritans and Jews. This issue is not just a new thing. It's been around for a long, long time. But we must recognize white privilege, whether you admit it or not, does exist. People are going to debate this, even after result of this message, the term, and whether or it to what extent white privilege exists. But today's message is not how deep and how wide it may go. It's about what God says about white privilege, about prejudice, about white supremacy, about racism. I want to insert here before we jump into God's word that often the problem with discussions on race, and in this case white privilege, is that these issues are left to the ones who are experiencing the effects of racial divide. Think about that. Then we hear these words when discussions begin to happen, or you begin to challenge someone that has a white privileged attitude. It's the letters NMI. NMI. Not my issue. Well, my friends that are white, this issue is not going away anytime soon. And I will tell you with great conviction, it is your issue. It's my issue. And quite honestly, it must be seen as our issue collectively. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 and 28 say these words out of the ESV. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There's neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. I want you to say it a whisper in your home right now, on your couch, wherever you are. We're all one. We're all one. As Christ followers, our view of the world must be filtered through God's word. The offer of salvation through Jesus is not exclusive to a particular race. There is no black gospel, brown salvation message, or white for that matter. We actually serve a God who came in the flesh, who was a person of color. At what point do we make our Jesus a white Jesus? Christ died once for all mankind, to be free of our sinful past and to experience freedom morally, physically, spiritually, culturally, racially. It was never His intent that there would be a divide such as we have seen in the last hundreds of years, maybe 400 years of our existence. Romans 2:11 says God shows no partiality. The Bible is clear about the reality of sin and the effects it has had on humanity. Ephesians chapter 2 speaks to that. And you were dead in your sins and trespasses in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in. See, partiality, being biased, being prejudiced, seeing through a lens of partiality has plagued humanity for a very long time. People have been mistreated due to their gender, their ethnicity, their socioeconomic status, their profession, and more. And whether or not people want to admit it, there have been marked mistreatments and prejudice toward people with darker skin in the United States and the Western world, both in modern times and throughout world history. Thus, the issue of white privilege has come into a public forum now. Again, there'll be debates about sociology and politics that are not our intent in this message. However, the Bible does have much to say about issues associated with discussions of white privilege. No, it doesn't mention it specifically, but I think you'll understand when we unpack the scripture in the next few minutes. You see, sin has always been the great separator of mankind. For the wages of sin is death. You can't escape that. You can't get much more separated from God than dying and for all of eternity living in a state of separation because of your choice of sinful behavior, sinful choice. The idea of racial divide or a superiority of a race is not the heart of the Father. And I believe it grieves him deeply to know that this divide still exists in the church and in the world around us. More specific, as we talk about white privilege, let us affirm that white people are not inherently better than any other people, nor inherently worse. Every human being is born with sin, a sin issue, a sin problem. And apart from Jesus, we're all separated from God and condemned. But Jesus has made the way of salvation open to all who call upon the name of Jesus. In the New Testament, one of the biggest social divides between people was that between the Jews and the Gentiles, as we mentioned a moment ago. You can find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. And it says this, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off. And through him, we both have access to one spirit, to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." A couple more things here. I'm going to pray. Treating people as more or less valuable or more or less deserving of justice based on their social status, color of their skin, wealth, or any other worldly based value system is against God. So stop with the white privilege. Stop with the prejudice. Stop with the racism. If God be God in your life, begin to repent and begin to figure out how you can love your neighbor as yourself. That whole topic is one that you know is dear to my heart. I love the topic of who's your neighbor. And we define your neighbor as probably not the person living next door, but probably the person that you least like, the person you avoid, the person you drive around the block not to have to see, the person you walk into the church building, you see them, you go to the other side. That's your neighbor. In the context of this message today, it's probably a person of color, possibly a black person. Whatever it is, you need to ask God to reveal that and ask forgiveness of a lifestyle and a belief that doesn't honor him, nor does it please him. If you show partiality, you're committing sin and are convicted by the law of transgressors. James 2, 8, and 9, Proverbs 22, 2. Those who have trusted in Christ as Savior are charged with loving others as God loves them. Scripture says, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. The love of God is self-sacrificial love that looks out for the best interests of others. When we are secure in who we are in Christ, we can freely pour out God's love on others, no matter their class, no matter their status, and especially no matter their color. White privilege is no doubt here and looking straight into our faces and asking the question, what will we do? Love not as a white person, but love like Jesus loved with only one aim. And that aim is to not see anything that divides us, but the beauty of color as a loving embrace of acceptance and love for our fellow man as we sojourn together in this life. I pray in Jesus' name that the Father would speak to our hearts as a family, congregation, and whoever else is watching, that we would not be a participant in or contributor to any kind of social disruption that doesn't honor God. But if we're going to join a protest, which I am so not against, let our protest be to love our neighbor as ourselves. Let our protest be that I love my neighbor that's a person of color, my neighbor, my black friends, my Asian friends, my Islander friends, my brown friends, whatever it is, Father, help us as Christ's followers to unite under the banner of Jesus as one new man. I bless you this morning. I pray his face shine on you. And I pray that the days ahead, no matter what it looks like, we can walk in the peace and the counsel and the comfort of our Father.